We talk now to Kim Whittaker, founder of Ubuntu Beds, something that she was driven to by your experience of being positive for coronavirus. Hello again, Kim.
Hi, John.
No after effects for you? I mean, when did you sort of move out of the infected period? Quite a long time ago now. You were one of the first.
Yes. So I found out I was positive on the 13th of March, and I was sort of discharged in the first week of April. And the only effect, I think, is that I still can't really smell. So, but other than that, I'm fit as a fiddle and in good health.
Can't really smell. I mean, if you can't really smell, then you can't really taste. And I don't know whether you're a wine drinker or a beer or a whiskey drinker, but even if you're not, then you can't really taste your food. So that's not...
Well, I think for me, like, the biggest thing is I'm actually burning my food pretty frequently because I use my sense of smell to cook, you know. So that's the only lasting effect, but I believe I will be getting it back soon. So I'm not too worried.
Okay. And is it sort of at 50% of what it was before you became positive, or is it 10%, 20%?
I want to say like 10% or 20%, literally.
Wow.
Like I can't smell a braai. I can't smell a fire. Like, I can smell very odd things, like, very rarely, but it's very strange.
I was asked
a little information, yeah, you know.
I was asked a rapid fire question some time ago. What is the most recognizable smell in the world? And I guessed the answer correctly. I didn't know it, but I guessed it. Coffee. Can you smell coffee?
I can't, actually. I can't smell coffee. No, I smelled bacon the other day for the first time. That was quite amazing.
It must have been burnt bacon then.
I think it was by that stage, probably was.
Anyway, let's talk about Ubuntu Beds and where we're at that moment. You're in this wonderful situation of having more beds available at no cost to healthcare workers who want to live safely close to their place of work rather than live dangerously with their family, perhaps far away from work. You have more beds than there is demand for at the moment.
Correct, and yes and no, because our beds span across South Africa. So we have just over 15,000 beds, which is about 869 accommodations. And we're seeing as infection rates spike in different locations, we're really seeing the need increase, like, you know, it doubles every day, basically. And so it really depends. So, for example, in St. Lucia and Richards Bay, we have a severe shortage of beds.
Okay.
Whereas in Cape Town and Johannesburg, we're very blessed with the number of beds and we're able to place people very quickly. So yes and no, we still need more, especially in outlying areas. And we're still really appealing to accommodation owners of any type, apartments, hotels, B&Bs, backpackers, to sign up, because we do get unusual requests in Umtata and, St. Lucia, Richards Bay, where we are needing Secunda, for example, we need more rooms. So yes and no, we have many amazing accommodations that have signed up, but we still need more.
But most of the people listening to this conversation between you and me are in the Greater Cape Town area, and there you're relatively well supplied. There, your drive is to get the health workers to take advantage of this wonderful service that's being offered to them.
Absolutely, definitely.
And you mentioned backpackers, B&Bs, that they're all private accommodations or private accommodations in a cottage in a large garden? What kinds of things are there?
So we're seeing a variety. So we have sort of, as you mentioned, cottage apartments or apartments which are suited for the home from home. So this is healthy healthcare workers who are commuting back and forth to work. So there we're looking for preferably walking distance or very close to the hospital. In the Cape region, it's been amazing. We've had people sign up all around the Cape, which is so useful because there, of course, are hospitals everywhere. Then we have large sort of medium-sized boutique hotels, which are very convenient for quarantine facilities, which we're now moving more into that space of accommodating PUIs or person under investigation. So these are people who don't know whether they have COVID or not, but they need to monitor their symptoms and wait for their test results and get tested again to see if they are in fact negative. And then the larger facilities for self-isolation, which is, for example, if you have a hospital group that wants to look after their staff who get infected and they want to put them up in a facility, you know, so that they can monitor them. They have their own medical staff on site, nurses, et cetera, who can monitor the positive COVID healthcare workers to ensure that their conditions don't worsen, et cetera. So those are the sort of that's the scope of accommodations that we're looking at the moment, and really we have healthcare workers staying in all kinds of accommodation, B&Bs, guest houses, you know, single apartments to sort of larger hotels now even.
It's amazing. And anybody listening who wants to add their accommodation to the pool, which is quite well filled in Cape Town, but let's fill it even more just in case the need arises. And as the number of infections grow, as they are growing in the Western Cape, I suspect the need is going to increase for a couple of months before it starts to decrease. Ubuntubeds.co.za?
It's ubuntubeds.org. Okay. Sorry, I should have mentioned that. Ubuntubeds.org. And that's where you can sign up as an accommodation. You can also sign up as a healthcare worker. And even if you want to, you know, contribute in another way, we've had yoga teachers writing lovely meditations for healthcare workers. You know, we obviously have a donation platform on the website as well so that we are able to offer this for free to healthcare workers. And all that is on the website, which is ubuntubeds.org.
Thank you very much to Kim Whitaker, the founder of ubuntubeds.org.